Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about how long can rents keep increasing in New Zealand? Now, a lot of investors, a lot of property investors are thinking about increasing rents at the moment. Why? Because, of course, interest rates are going up. That's going to make our mortgages more expensive. And so we're thinking, well, can we recoup some of that cost with rent increases? So what we're going to talk about in today's episode, first of all, is where do rents increase the fastest? And then how long can they keep going up? Because if rents keep going up, won't eventually 100% of a tenant's income be going to a rent if rents are increasing faster than incomes? So, Andrew, let me ask you this. How fast have rents increased historically in New Zealand? Set this up for us.
So, over the last 20 years, median rent has increased by 4.82% per year, and that's obviously compounding. And so that's from September 2001 to September 2021, and that's at a national level. Now, it's different when you look at each council area. So, rents in the slowest area went up by just 4% a year. And the fastest growing area went up by 6.8 per year. And this is kind of how this episode came about, because I wanted to know, you know, often, you know, when we talk about median house prices as a national level, we have it with and without Auckland included. So I wonder whether or not Auckland was going to muddy the waters because, you know, higher incomes there. And so that's how we got started on this. So Ed, tell us, how does that affect it?
Well, what's interesting is that rents have actually risen more slowly in the major cities compared to the national average. So when we're doing our forecasting and our spreadsheets, we use that national average, 4.82% increase year on year, as a bit of a how quickly do we think will rents increase in the future. Now, Andrew said, oh, well, maybe Auckland's going to pull that average right up. Turns out that's actually not the case. The biggest increases we've seen in rents have actually been in smaller towns, whereas the smaller increases, the areas that are down the bottom in terms of how quickly they're growing in terms of rents, have actually been more urban areas. So the slowest growing rents in the country over the last 20 years, that period, was actually Wellington City. Incredibly surprising. Wow. Because that's where
that is really surprising,
especially because that's where incomes are highest. Wellington City has the highest incomes because you've got a lot of professional services firms there, you've got a lot of government people earning good money, and actually we've seen rent increase most slowly in those areas. Second was Waitomo District, which is a bit of an anomaly because that's a very small district in southern Waikato. But then you've got Queenstown, Christchurch, and Auckland. So arguably the areas where incomes are highest and our most urban areas are all in the bottom five in terms of how quickly rents are increasing. Now, Auckland was, and Christchurch actually, were not far off the national average. The national average was 4.8. They're sitting at about 4.5. But it is interesting to see them at the bottom of the pack. Now, if we compare that to the fastest growing areas, and this, oh mate, blow me down. I couldn't believe it. Fastest growing area.
Oh, I know you are.
Stratford. Are you serious? Stratford in central Taranaki, where I'm originally from. I couldn't believe that it was Stratford. Population, probably 10,000 people.
Four.
All up in, you know, I'm pretty sure it's population 4,000 in terms of the actual town, but the district's probably 10,000. I honestly couldn't believe that, guys. 6.83%, followed by South Wairarapa, Carterton, Whanganui, and Otorohanga. I really couldn't believe it, actually, that these smaller towns is where rents have increased the fastest. Well, you're probably wondering as well, well, why would it be the case that somewhere like Stratford has seen so much rental increase? I'm wondering whether it's come off a particularly low base, whether at that time smaller towns had very little demand for tenants, and then perhaps that's increased over time. I don't have the exact reasons why that might be the case, but it's interesting to note that that has tended to be the case, whereas at least from a percentage standpoint, the more metropolitan areas have hugged more around that middle, whereas some of these smaller areas have been really high up the top. Now, that's the first part of the question, Andrew. The second part that we're interested in as well is, well, are rents increasing faster than income? So this is what's happened historically, but is that going to be a good predictor for the future if people's incomes aren't increasing as quickly as rents? So is there a natural limit to how fast rents can increase?
Well, certainly the media would suggest that rents are getting to the point where they're unaffordable, and there's been lots of headlines talking about tenants spending 40% of their income on rent and this, you know, unsustainable rent prices, all those kind of things. Over the last 21 years, so from 1998 to 2019, rents are up 145%. So they've gone from $190 a week to $465. Over the same period, household incomes are up 135%. So they've gone from $39,400 a year to $92,000 per year. Now, that means that rents are up 4.4% and household incomes up 4.1%. So there's not a massive difference there.
That's per year. So rents are increasing slightly faster than household incomes, but not astronomically as we would have otherwise thought. And when you look at it, what's interesting is that the proportion of household income going towards median rent, so if I compare the median rent with the median household income, and that changing over time, the proportion of income going towards rent has stayed within the band of 23 to 27%. And looking at the data I've got in front of me, it looks like it hasn't actually got worse since 2003. It's been relatively steady since that period. So it doesn't necessarily look like that median rent compared to the median household income has deteriorated much. Now, a couple of things to note as well, which I'm sure you would pick up. You might be thinking, well, my household income's not 92 grand. We might be 60 grand or 80 grand. And that's absolutely true. The median income is just the middle number. It doesn't represent everybody's income in the country. By definition, half of the country are earning more than that and half the country are earning less than that. And of course, the other thing to note is just because the median income is 92K in terms of household income, that's all of the income earned within the household, not necessarily by one person. What's important to note is, of course, the median income is not going to be the median tenant's income. So what I mean by that is there is a very clear argument to be made that perhaps the median income for tenants would be lower than the median income for everyone in New Zealand, because naturally people who are really rich can afford to own their own homes. But the important thing to note here is that over time we haven't seen this metric that we're using. We're using a consistent metric and we haven't seen it deteriorate, which suggests that household incomes are increasing at a similar rate to rents. But one question that I've got for you, Andrew, is based on the numbers, at what point would rents be higher than income? So on that basis, rent going up at 4.4% per year over this specific period, 1998 to 2019, and incomes going up at about 4.1% per year, at what point will rents be higher than incomes? At what point will rents make up 100% of tenants' incomes?
So brace yourself, people. The year 2625. So 604 years before that's going to become an issue. So a little while, to be fair.
I must admit, Andrew, it made me think as well, what was 604 years in the past? So we're talking about 1417. So that's kind of the timeline you can think about. So if you can think about what life was like 604 years ago, back in the 1400s, I'd imagine that society and the human race will progress even more over the next 604 years than it has in the last 604 years. And so I guess the key point here that is somewhat surprising is that it appears that household incomes are increasing sufficiently with rents in order to be able to keep those rents affordable, or to suggest that rents have not become any more unaffordable than what they previously had been. But naturally, I think a lot of people might be thinking, well, are tenants just whingers then? Are they whinging that rents aren't going up? And I think the important thing is to say no, because while the median might have gone up by 4.1%, 4.2% a year, it is important to realise that there are large portions of society where that won't have been the case. So for instance, benefits historically had been indexed against inflation rather than wages. So if household incomes are going up at 4%, benefits might only be going up at 2.1% per year, which over this period, this 21-year period, that's what inflation would be going up by. So people who were earning incomes through going to work, their incomes were going up faster than those of people on benefits, which means that rents would be making up a larger and larger proportion of beneficiaries' incomes, unless they were going through a community housing provider and something like that. So what's important to note is that when we're using the median, we're only looking at the middle of a distribution. We're not thinking about people who are either very poor or who are very wealthy. And so naturally, they will be in very different positions. The other thing that's important to note as well is that a household income does not consider, well, what was the hourly rate that somebody earned? So one way to increase median household income is to have a shift in society from a one-income household to a two-income household. So for instance, if I think about my folks, back in 1998, they would have been a one-income household because my mother wasn't working and my father was. Whereas if they were, they're not still together, but let's say that they actually were, then they would be a two-income household today. And that would be an increase because we've seen society shift from a one-income household to a two-income household that will push up household incomes. That change in how society is working or how households operate and work, that won't be reflected within this necessarily. But nonetheless, what is interesting is that we haven't seen things get substantially worse, even over the last 5 years or 4 years, when you won't see those societal effects have so much of an impact. Now, Andrew, what for you is most surprising in this little piece of research we've done?
The biggest shock to me was that Auckland wasn't dragging up the stats for the rest of the country. I truly thought that that was going to be the numbers. And I think I said to you, hey, would you mind just pulling the data and just see how Auckland differs from the rest of the country so that we can kind of separate those out when we're doing projections. And as with a lot of the theories that I get you to test that have been created in my brain as an investor, and you delight in telling me that I'm wrong. So one day I'll find out that you've just actually edited the data just so you can keep me thinking that I'm dumb.
Well, one thing that's interesting there, just don't beat yourself up too much, is that while incomes are higher in Auckland, that doesn't necessarily mean that the increase in incomes will be higher in Auckland or that yes. They'll grow at a faster rate, which is kind of in line with what we're thinking in terms of rents. So a couple of key things to take away from this episode is that, hey, we can feel pretty good when we're putting down a projection of a 4.8% or a 4.5% increase in rents over time because they appear to have a degree of sustainability to them in terms of how quickly household incomes are also growing. And the other thing to note is that the median tenant is not necessarily significantly worse off today than they were back in 2003 or 1998, based on their household incomes growing compared to their rents. Now, hey, look, let's wrap it up there, but please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you do want to learn more about property with Andrew and I, come along to our next webinar. The last one of the year is always a lot of fun because we are going to give you our predictions for the next 12 months for 2022. And we are also going to revisit the predictions we made at the end of last year and see which ones were right and which ones, were not quite right at all. So if you want to come along to that, it is on the 14th of December. That's a Tuesday. And just tap or swipe over the cover art. You'll find a link in there. It's absolutely free to come along. Or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.